You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Klay Thompson is hurt. He is rolling over on the baseline, injured. Danny Green with the foul from behind as Klay went for the jam.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Toronto ball, Van Vliet, front court, 3:48 to go. He's all alone for three. Shoots and hits another one. Raptors take the lead.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And it's over. The Raptors have their first championship. They dethrone the dynasty. Toronto in six games beats the Warriors for their first NBA title. Toronto 114, the Warriors 110. The Toronto Raptors are the 2019 NBA champion.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Jason Swigard hanging out with you on this Fast Break Friday. Although, do we continue to call it Fast Break Friday because the season's officially done, or do we wait till the draft free agency's done and then cut bait on Fast Break Friday?
I don't know. When do, what do we go to?
What's the baseball equivalent?
Fastball Friday.
Fast break, fastball. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm going to go soccer. We can go footy Friday.
See, I feel like baseball needs a little more respect on the day. And by the way, Boss Man, I don't know if Boss Man's listening right now. Real missed opportunity here. I teed it up for the sales staff.
Well, I know.
Said, you want to sell football Friday all year. We get it. Yeah. You have a fast break Friday. You could go sell and make more money.
Exactly.
Let's get everybody on board with Fast Break
Friday.
We
are idea men here on Dirt and Sprague.
That's all we do, my man. That's all we do. We got a good show today. There are a lot of different things to get to. Obviously, the NBA Finals ending yesterday and kind of just everything that went within that. And I want to ask this question. And Swag, you have a few more years, obviously, of sports watching in your life than me.
Just a few.
Well, I was trying to be nice. I'm being nice. Come on. Was that the strangest NBA Finals you've ever watched? Yes or no? And I want listeners to chime in on this, too, because that kind of seems to be the theme from almost everybody.
As what took place on the court?
I mean, everything from start to finish, on the court and off the court between
these
two teams.
The only one that was weirder was the Rockets and whoever when OJ was in the Broncos.
The Knicks.
Yeah.
They had game 7 was the day that he had the
Broncos. That's the only one that was more surreal, but that didn't have anything to do with what was going on in the finals. It was just on your TV. You're like,
yeah, that was out of their control. Like nobody on the court was doing anything
that
wrong.
That was weirder to watch, and you're like, okay, right. what is going on here? Otherwise, this was pretty bizarre.
It was just a strange feeling, wasn't it?
It was strange. You've had, you know, the, I'm trying to remember, you know, there's always injury stuff and guys are beat up at the end. You had Isaiah Thomas and playing on a bum ankle against.
I was going to maybe do a segment on that, of this whole like asterisk movement that I've seen. And I'm like, this is just a snapshot, but a few buddies I know that work in the radio industry in different markets, like they're getting on this whole thing on Twitter of, you know, putting the asterisk next to the Toronto Raptors. And I'm just like, bro, go through the history books of the finals. There's always injuries or there's always something where a team benefits. Part of winning a championship, I've maintained this opinion from the very first day I did a show here to today. Part of winning a championship requires luck to break your way.
Yeah.
It just does.
Teams overcoming it. Go look back. Was it Magic's first finals when Kareem was hurt in the last game, and he had to play center basically.
Hits game that six, hook shot. Yeah, against Philly.
So, how many times towards the end of Larry Bird's career was his back acting up, and he was all he could do to get out there and give him a little something? So yeah,
well, title fatigue is a real thing too, and even if you don't have injuries, go back to the Houston Lakers series in the 80s.
Yeah.
They should have beaten Houston. Houston shouldn't have been in the finals against Boston. It should have been another year of Lakers Celtics. But title fatigue can get you. It's a real thing.
Well, and especially I think it's exemplified as they drew out the lengths of the earlier rounds of the playoffs. Because I remember there used to be a mini series.
The best of three.
Way, way back. Yeah, it used to be the top two seeds actually got byes. You only had six teams in each conference. This is back when there was, 19 teams in the NBA or something in the late 70s. So, but I remember the mini series. And then it was like 3 out of 5. And then the last, the conference finals and the NBA finals were best of 7.
Yeah.
And then they made the first round a best of 5. I think... I wonder if they will look and go back. I don't know how much the TV partners, and not so much look, oh, you're cutting down games. How many games are you really cutting out? How many first round series have gone past 5 games in the last however many years you want to go back?
Mm-hmm.
How many games are you actually losing for the TV networks?
That was something that I mentioned I would do. I think it was during the first or the second round, and I just haven't done it. Maybe I will. One random slow late July, early August day where nothing's going on, I might just randomly pull that stat out, because I think about that too, of the whole cutting of games down. And this is something I want to get to later on in the show too, is Kawhi had mentioned something 2 games ago, and we have a clip from him talking about load management and just going through the history books since this has changed, or just really the archives, I should say, more so than the history books, but looking through the last few years, how many first-round series are going to 7? How many second-round series are going, just seeing how many games could you cut this and still show to your TV sponsorships and your partnerships, I should say, of, look, this never happens. So, yeah, we're cutting these 2 games, and yeah, you paid a hefty sum, but you're not getting those 2 games. You still paid that money. You're not getting those 2 games. I think that's really worth a look and a conversation this summer. And, Adam Silver is, I think, proven to be similar to Roger Goodell in the sense of always thinking ahead, always saying, what can we improve? What can we change? What can we make better? And we'll find out, because I think the pressure is going to be on him. I think it has been on them with the KD injury and then obviously injuring himself again with the Achilles and then last night with the Klay Thompson stuff. It's just going to be too loud. The noise is going to be too loud. And having talked to somebody that worked at the NBA offices that was here in Portland during the West Finals, I remember I was having a lengthy convo about a bunch of different things. And this individual who, works with Silver directly was telling me that, it's cool and great for social media that we have all these trade convos and these videos come out of players talking trash about other players. Those are all great. The league hates them. The league does not like it. As much as it may benefit the league of getting attention and stuff, the league does not like it because the league wants to protect players. Well, what do you got today? The league having to deal with a lot of conversations about shortening the season, dealing with catastrophic injuries. And I think whenever the league has that kind of conversation going, they're not big fans. And that's when they start to think about maybe what to change or not to change. So we got a lot to get to today. No Dirt. He is in New York City.
He had his traditional tweeting out of the cocktail.
I was actually a little disappointed he didn't do that because he watched that game at the airport last night. He didn't take off till 9:30. He usually does the cocktail or beer photo at the Portland airport. So I was surprised we didn't see it at night. But he's tweeted out, yes, his traditional, here's my cocktail. I'm doing next to nothing in my life. And I'm somewhere that you're not, and I'm not working today.
That's okay. We're waiting to find out what the big news story is that's going to bust here while he's out.
Well, I think there's been some things that have already come out, and I think there's going to be a lot more next week as well. But let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Mike. What's on tap? Brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the Beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a great show today. We will talk about the NBA Finals being over. Toronto wins their first championship. Congratulations, by the way, to St. Louis and Toronto.
Yeah.
I want a year. I don't think we'll ever get this. I think it would be really badass to watch the four sports leagues have new championship winners in the same season.
So if we start with these two?
No, I want it in like the calendar, because I just... Look, baseball is...
So where do you start? Super Bowl is the first one? Is that where you start?
I usually start, yeah, I'll go with the Super Bowl.
All right.
And then you got basketball, then baseball. Hockey's in there, obviously, with the basketball timeline. Yeah, I usually start with the NFL season.
All right. So one you year. Want it how... You want somebody... So either
so like
they
Cleveland,
haven't ever won one, yeah. or they haven't won one for how long?
I think like the Portland Golden State drought before Golden State won these and what we're
so
still
you're talking about
with.
Like 40 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Cleveland Indians. I believe they hadn't won one when they took on the Cubs. They hadn't
like
won one since 54.
60 some odd years. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So 60 plus years. That counts to me. Like most of that city
so
didn't
my,
see it.
My Dodgers not winning since 88. Not going to cut it.
No. They might win it this year, though. Although I don't know what
if
it would do to your psyche if they lose in another World Series.
Well, they're going to watch for them to make a whole bunch of bullpen moves at the trade deadline.
Would that be three straight World Series losses?
Yes.
Yeah, Houston, Boston. Oh, never wish that on anybody. But as a Braves fan, I can really sympathize with it. So you got that going on.
I know.
We will talk about the series, the injury that happened to Klay Thompson yesterday. We got the Daily Ticker, a stop to make in Toronto. We now have a wide open landscape in the Western Conference, so let's talk about the Blazers' title odds. I don't think this is crazy at all, and we're going to dive into this. I know I'm going to get some people that's like calling me an idiot and telling me how far away they are. I don't. I think this is a real opportunity now in the 19-20 season starting in October for Portland to really take advantage, and this is one of the breaks that Richmond was talking about a few weeks back on our show. They're playing this like the Mavs. Maybe just one weird year, things break their way, and that's what we have going into next year. Got some Baker Mayfield stuff to get to, some other NFL nuggets as well. Mitch Canham is now the new coach of the Oregon State Beavers, former player, back-to-back national champion. He left his AA Mariners job to be the face and the coach of Oregon State baseball. He'll join us at crunch time today. He had his press conference earlier this morning. We'll have to sprague the line, so get your spragging the line sponsors ready at 55305, the Better You Today text line. And we'll start with the finals. Toronto wins their first championship. You guys okay with this asterisk stuff, or does it bother you? We'll talk about them beating Golden State last night, which is a wild series that was. We'll get there next. Happy Friday. You got Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. No dirt. Sprague and Swigart hanging out with you. Beautiful little Friday afternoon. He will be back a week from today. So all next week, we'll have some people filling in for him, hanging out, having a good time.
But Thursday, you and I, we can just do NBA draft all day. Are we going to nerd out?
Oh, yeah. I want to talk a lot about the NBA draft, because that could actually be a moment for Portland to take advantage of you having a pick 25th and maybe trade away a contract. You know, we'll get into more about Portland, because I think there is something to take away from this NBA Finals involving Portland. Just as I mentioned this, it's such a strange series, such a weird game six last night. I had no doubt about Golden State's ability to come out and fight and throw everything at Toronto. You could easily make the point that if Klay doesn't go down with his injury, they win that game. And I'm really not all that mad at people if they do that. But there was something about Golden State in this series against this team that, even though I picked them in seven, I thought people way overrated them, way underrated Toronto, gave no respect to the Eastern Conference, and people just went in and thought because they swept Portland and we're so closely tied to Portland, obviously, that everybody else does the same thing. That's going to happen to everybody else. Toronto is such a better team than Portland, and with Kawhi Leonard there, it makes obviously a world of difference. You've got guys like Van Vliet stepping up. Pascal Siakam was really good for them yesterday. I believe he also, he had that great game one as well.
Yeah.
Toronto is a solid, solid team. And I did not understand the thinking going into this of, oh, Warriors in four, Warriors in five. It's just disrespectful. And it kind of shows me that a lot of people didn't watch a whole lot of Eastern Conference basketball this year. And I get that. But just a weird vibe for this series. I mean, in games in Toronto, games in Golden State, just when you think one team was going to go way ahead and blow them out, the other team would respond. You think, oh, this guy's down, so this team's going to win. Nope, they fight really tough. And Klay Thompson, before that injury, God, was he fun to watch. It was overall a strange series, an entertaining series. And I don't know about anybody else, but I watched this game by myself. It was just amazing theater. I'm sitting there almost just like nervous, and I don't have a team in it. And I loved it. I loved every second of what this series gave us.
Yeah, I had a similar thing. It was just me and the dog on the couch. And I just kind of, I stayed off Twitter. I was kind of mesmerized by the whole thing. And then he went down and I was like, oh, maybe he hyperextended it. And then he kind of trotted out, Klay Thompson did, to take those free throws, because they mentioned if he's out, he can't come back. And somebody told him in the hall and say, look.
I'm surprised nobody on their staff knew that rule. That's like one of those weird rules that I randomly knew, was like, if he doesn't shoot, he can't come back.
Well, but they had called a timeout. So I think the rest of the team was over. So he was just there with the trainers. And I don't know if the trainers knew that rule or not. But
somebody yelled at him when he was down the
hall.
But
yeah, somebody came from the bench and went down and said, hey, Klay, if you don't shoot the free throws, you can't re-enter the game. So he came back out and looked like he was going to try and play a defensive set. That was the thing. You saw him kind of jogging out there. So you thought maybe normally if a guy tears an ACL, he ain't getting up.
Did you find this odd too? This was another element of how strange that game was. There was the report from Doris in the back. Guys, Clay's running and
he's jumping up and down. Yeah.
He's trying to give it a go and just awaiting a little longer. And I would say not even 2 minutes later, they went right back to Doris. And she looked like she thought he died.
Yeah.
Guys, Klay Thompson's not giving it a go. I'm like, wow.
Obviously, they were waiting for an X-ray. And then they got the results, and it must have been clear as day or whatever they have back there in the locker room. So it's like, nope, you're done.
Yeah, get your crutches, get ready.
So, yeah, so he exited. He was gone before the game was over. He was off to the hospital for an MRI.
Well, according to Ramona Shelburne, who wrote a piece on ESPN.com, kind of just recapping the craziness of it, I guess Klay had a mention, quote in there, where he basically did not know what was going on. He couldn't follow the game in the middle of his testing, and he was asking, hey, did we win?
How'd you like to be the guy to deliver that news? No, season's over.
Well, look, they could have won that game. They had opportunities. They were not winning game seven. In fact, I would gamble they would have gotten murdered in game seven.
Well, no, because the minute Klay was out, all of a sudden, Steph had a double team all over the floor. They went back. I don't know if it was the full-on box and one, but anytime, once he gave the ball up, he was double-teamed. He couldn't get the ball back. The fact that got him that clean look at the end was pretty brilliant play structure from whoever drew it up on the Golden State sidelines. That's as good a look as you could possibly get, but he was gassed. They ran him ragged once Klay was out and said, somebody else is going to have to beat us, and almost did.
It's not fair to him because obviously he's dealing with so many injuries, like the Steph slander. He's now 0-for-8. And it's like, okay, guys, it's not easy to hit game-winning shots, first of all. Kobe is like, 7-of-24 or something? You know, like those never great.
No.
And the game doesn't always just boil down to hitting the game-winning shot, right? Like I've rewatched. One of my favorite games to rewatch is the Game 6 in Utah, Chicago and the Jazz, because I was at just the right age where it stuck with me. And I'll go back once in a while. I'll just rewatch the whole game. And there's so many different little moments that people forget about in that game that it's like, yeah, Jordan hits that shot, but man, a rebound here by Rodman. Oh, man, a double team on Scottie three different times led to open looks for Kukoc. There are so many moments that you just execute, and that is the world of difference as well as hitting a game-winning shot. Steph Curry was boxed in one again yesterday. And here's just the obvious thing to say. There are only so many LeBrons in the world. And I know there's a lot of people that listen that do not like LeBron for whatever different reasons, and that's fine. The one thing you can't deny is LeBron James has a unique ability to rise in a moment and create looks for guys or be able to break through a double team and just physically impose his will. And that's not an easy thing to do. And most guys, I would say, in league history, and that's what's unique about LeBron, don't have that ability. Steph is kind of one of those. He is obviously a franchise guy, one of the all-time greats. But man, when it's Steph and then nobody else who can shoot, you're only going to be able to do so much.
Yeah, they didn't have somebody else out there who could space the floor. They weren't respecting Iguodala, even though he might have had his best game of the whole finals.
God, he came up big for them.
And
Quinn Cook wasn't really doing much for him.
No, so Quinn was Cook the guy. It, if he had hit a couple of threes, Livingston wasn't giving him hardly anything. So Toronto said, hey, let's go get this now. We're going to make somebody else other than Steph beat us. And if they come up with a miracle, then we still got game seven at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think there should be an asterisk on this.
I'm so tired of that conversation.
No. Toronto won this series. Certainly they
had. Part of winning a title is health.
Yeah.
That's part of winning a championship is, do you have the stamina and longevity to be able to hold up enough to win the championship? Golden State has benefited from health not being on the other team's side. Other NBA champions have greatly benefited from it. Toronto is no different in this conversation.
Well, and wait a week from now and see how many press releases come out about guys having procedures. If Kyle Lowry's got to have something dumb to his thumb.
Kawhi Leonard's
leg. If Kawhi's got legs, going to have something done to it. Whoever else. I mean, they're going to go back. They're on adrenaline and cloud nine. They got a week of parties and parades and then start watching for it. Somebody's having this done to their shoulder or this knee scoped or this hand. Yeah.
I mean, I use this reference because I just think it fits perfectly compared to the NBA. What were people saying about the Super Bowl with Foles? Well, Brady and the Patriots, that's going to be a win. He's a backup. He can't win. You know what? They came out there and they played a great game. They executed and they did exactly what they needed to with a backup quarterback and won. It's about execution. It's about fighting through adversity. And I'm so tired and done with this asterisk crap that the next person I see texting in about it or telling me to my face, I might never talk to them ever again.
And as great a defensive team as the Warriors are, they're one of the best team defenders in scheme and understanding where the rotations come from. They couldn't guard Kawhi.
No.
They could not guard Kawhi consistently in that series.
Well, and obviously once you take KD out, it changes things. And then you add that Klay is out now. Just brutal. It's brutal for Golden State, and that sucks. But you know what? Toronto did what they needed to do. They capitalized on it. And I still think they would have won a game seven had Golden State found a way to win. In fact, I think they were going to win big. But this is what happens when you go in and you go get another guy for $30 million. This is what I talked about is you start to lose a little bit of depth. And you went from trusty veterans, and Livingston and Iguodala obviously still there, but you know, this first year run in 15, they were younger, they were veteran, they wanted to win a ring, they would do whatever it took to win. They had Bogut, who was a veteran and hadn't won at a high level. They had Barbosa, who had come close with the Suns. Like, you think about that 15 team, and it was just loaded from starting lineup to bench. This group didn't get to have that. And part of the reason was because they said, Kevin Durant, come to Golden State. It worked. They won two championships from it. But because they didn't win a third, I'm not suddenly putting an asterisk next to it because some guys got hurt. You take on Kevin Durant, you diminish your chances of finding good role players that can step up, and you have to go with G League guys or guys that are borderline G League players to be your supporting cast. That's part of the breaks. Give Toronto a ton of credit. We still have some audio from Toronto. Hear from Kawhi. Kyle Lowry had a funny moment. There is a fan who is caught on the local news in Toronto carrying around a plant, and he'll explain why he was carrying around that plant. But coming up next, it's the Daily Ticker, and we're going to make a stop in Toronto to see what the reaction's been like now. and where the Raptors go from here. We got the Daily Ticker next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time. If you're just tuning in, we were talking about the Raptors. They get the championship, their very first one ever in their franchise history. And I just think it's just weak, it's lazy, it's so inaccurate of NBA history to say there needs to be an asterisk next to a team for winning a championship. Injuries are a part of the game. You got to deal with them and overcome them. Toronto's banged up as well, but they get the win over the Warriors. So joining us now to talk about that win is Aaron Karolnik of TSN 1050 in Toronto, and he joins us now. Aaron, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. I'll just start. Is the city still standing?
Brandon, I am struggling to stand as is. It was a very late night, as you can imagine, here in Toronto. The city was absolutely on fire. And it is remarkable to see the way that the city has embraced basketball, certainly more recently than not. It's a hockey town in Toronto. I think everyone across the United States knows that. But basketball is becoming, and it has been, massive for a long time now. But last night just was the culmination of years and of struggles and of certainly a plight of a fan base and a franchise that has been hated on by the United States for a long time, deservedly so in many respects. But last night was incredible. There's so many happy people, and the parade on Monday is going to be such a special moment. I cannot wait.
Absolutely. You know, a much smaller level, obviously, but this year, you know, Portland gets to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 19 years, and, you know, we're all jacked about it. But even I remember doing the Monday show, it still hadn't really sunk in. Like, we talked about it mainly the whole show, but it hadn't really sunk in. Has it sunk in that you guys are the world champions up there and that you've maybe ended the Golden State dynasty?
Well, I think it's going to really sink in during the parade on Monday, because it's still a weekday here. The NBA title was won on a weekday, and I think a lot of people really, you know, indulged in the celebrations last night. But I think once they see that trophy, all the floats rolling around downtown Toronto on Monday, it's going to sink in, and just people are just reveling in the greatness of what is this team. It's such an unlikely story. So many pieces that came together from different ways. The way that the team was constructed is so unique in today's NBA. You look at the trade of Kawhi Leonard, how Kyle Lowry was doubted for his playoff performances for years. Pascal Siakam's been playing basketball for 7 years. And I had a double-double, 26 and 10 last night. Just an incredible story, and so many beloved figures in this city. And I can't believe I didn't even mention Fred VanVleet, who set a record for bench players with 16 threes in the NBA Finals. More than Robert Horry and J.R. Smith, some of the great bench players in NBA Finals history. Such a beloved group, and we're just so thrilled that we were able to see what we did last night.
Yeah, Aaron Karolnik is our guest, TSN 1050 Sports Radio up there in Toronto. Yeah, if Van Vliet ever gets a statue, there better be a Band-Aid under that eye, because that that was a...
I don't think there's no other way to do it there.
Right, that was such a tough, gutsy performance by him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
One guy I'm real curious about is, you know, you get players that are high level, but maybe not the elite. You know, Kyle Lowry, I put him in that category. He's a high-level all-star player, not elite enough to maybe lead you, but a really good role guy. I was so critical of him after that game one against Orlando, and we talked about how he just comes up small in the biggest moments, and he has done nothing but redeem himself in my eyes. He wasn't perfect, but God, was he good at the beginning of that game. He had 21 first-half points. What was his reputation in this city? What was it like, especially after last year when they got swept by LeBron and a bunch of guys, versus what you think it has transformed into now that he has a championship and was so helpful in getting them that ring?
Yeah, you talk about the game one against Orlando in the first round where he had 0 points. And I remember going on our show here in Toronto, and rightfully so, we were carving Kyle Lowry. Anytime this five-time all-star point guard who makes $33 million a year goes scoreless in an NBA playoff game, there's certainly a right to question him. But there is no questions about Kyle Lowry anymore. Absolutely phenomenal performance in the first half last night. He had some huge games on the road for the Raptors in the NBA Finals, and one of the toughest road arenas at Oracle in the Bay. And the man at 26 in Game 6 in a clinching game. He had 23 in game two, another massive performance. And I think anyone who questioned Kyle Lowry's playoff performance in the past, and there certainly have been questions, and rightfully so, but I think he's put all those to bed. The man showed up in an incredible way last night and all throughout the playoffs for the Raptors. I think he really has justified his place as one of the top point guards of the last 5 to 7 years in the NBA.
Yeah. Were you at game five by chance?
Yes, I was.
What was that? Because I still had confidence that they would win game six, and I picked them. But what was that like to be that close, have a Kawhi run, and then you look around and everybody's going insane? One timeout later, Golden State responds and somehow gets out of that building with a win. Could you describe that scene for us?
Game five was really representative of the highs and lows of sports and being a sports fan and covering sports for a living. Because the Toronto Raptors are up 6 points with 3.5 minutes to go. They're just reeled off this incredible run. And all of a sudden, like, Nick Nurse calls this timeout, kind of kills the momentum. People are looking around. Golden State goes on this 9-0 run to end the game. Clay and Steph hit those threes. And we're all looking around like, what just happened? This game was over. The NBA championship was ours. We're going to celebrate in our own building. And it was just ripped away. And then you look at last night, and the last 15 seconds of the game, Danny Green makes that turnover. And Steph Curry gets that pretty good look for three to put the Golden State ahead with less than 5 seconds to go. And we're all like, oh, man, is this going to happen again? But it was just a remarkable run for this team. And last night really personified the doggedness of these guys because they could have folded, like, the number of leads. I think there's 18 lead changes in that game, 14 of which happened in the first half. It was an incredible game. And it's just an incredible series, so much skill. I know I heard you mention the asterisk off the top, and Kevin Durant's injury is going to be something that we remember about this series. Certainly Klay Thompson, the way he came out and shot those two free throws after tearing his ACL was an incredible thing to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, as you mentioned, injuries are part of the game. There's certain breaks that go each way, and I think Golden State was on the receiving end of some positive breaks in some of their title runs in the past, and it just happened to break the right way for the Raptors. This time around.
Yeah, the asterisk crowd is hilarious to me because they want to say this is an asterisk. They don't want to take the time to go through the history of the NBA and find like 15 others, including, by the way, 1991 Game 5, James Worthy and Byron Scott not playing in the NBA Finals. Guess who won that game? The Chicago Bulls, because they were healthy and they took advantage of the situation.
And even more recently, sorry to interrupt, Brandon, like you look at in 2015 with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love going down for Cleveland, and Golden State wins in six. And then last year, Chris Paul injures his hamstring in game five against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. And I know you don't see the Golden State faithful complaining about those wins, but they're complaining about this one. But in any case, it's over. But I'm super curious to see how Golden State proceeds next year with all those injuries.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Aaron Karolnik is our guest, TSN 1050 here on the Daily Ticker. Toronto gets their first NBA championship. What's your gut say? He had a comment yesterday. I know nobody can really read Kawhi as a human being, but he had one moment, I think, in the post game of all the celebrations and comments where he said something to the effect of, this is something Toronto, they can build on. And people were kind of like,
We noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I don't know how you guys feel ultimately. Like, if he did this with Portland and then left, I really don't think I'd hold any animosity, but you also don't want to lose the feeling of, hey, we could win the championship again next year. Do you think he's gone, and how does the city react if he bolts?
Okay, I'll address the first one your first question first. And I think he's going to remain a Raptor. I think he's going to sign a short-term deal for a number of reasons. The first being that the Toronto Raptors give him the best chance not only to win, but also to manage his load. The load management has become such a famous term, because the Raptors are a deep team with the ability to overcome his absence for an extended period of time during the season. He sat 22 times this year. The Raptors went 17-5 in games that Kawhi Leonard did not play. So if you're Kawhi Leonard, you're going to the L.A. Clippers, and you're the only star player on the team, the Raptors, Siakam and Kyle Lowry, a number of guys who can fill his void to some extent, your team might not make the playoffs if you sit 22 games next year. And I think that the Raptors have one of the best medical staffs in the NBA, led by Alex McKechnie, super highly regarded, and rightfully so. The way that they did what they did with Kawhi this year was incredible to see. As far as will he stay, obviously there's a lot of positivity in Toronto. There was a report recently by one of my colleagues, Michael Lansbury, that Kawhi has purchased property in Toronto, to which he responded, no, not yet. So read into that with what you will. I just think Toronto gives Kawhi the best opportunity to win now and in the future. And for him to leave, there would be no animosity towards him because we understand he didn't sign here as a free agent. He was traded here, I'm not going to say against his will, but it wasn't an ideal situation. But the way the city has embraced Kawhi, he is a living legend here. There, it is remarkable to see. And, you know, he advanced the finals MVP, brought Toronto first top Big Four sports championship since 1993, the Blue Jays. He's revered, and for him to leave, it would be heartbreaking, but I don't think there would be any animus towards him. But let's just hope, for all Torontonians' sake, that we get another couple years of Kawhi as a Raptor.
Yeah, him and Deion Sanders, the greatest one-year rentals of a player for our sports teams of all time, Kawhi Leonard, if he is to leave Toronto. Aaron, I'll get you out of here on this one, and it's kind of a two-parter again. There's a report immediately. Woj could not wait. He had to tweet this out right after they won that Washington is going to offer the GM Masai Ujiri $10 million a year to be their GM, basically. And then there was also the report that he punched a security guard, sheriff, cop of some sort because the guy didn't think he had a credential. He's the freaking GM, so there was probably a little bit of a physical get out of my way situation. What do we make of that and the report that he potentially could be gone to Washington?
So let's address the report first. So Adrian Wojnarowski, it seemed like as the Raptors were celebrating on the court, this report emerges that Washington wants to bring in Masai as their general manager, $10 million a year. Larry Tannenbaum, who's the kind of one of the three owners of the Toronto Raptors, it's split three ways between Rogers, Bell, and Larry Tannenbaum. He addressed that report and basically said that Masai is like a son to him and that he wouldn't be going anywhere. So let me just tell you that the owners of the Toronto Raptors have very deep pockets. So I think anything that Washington can offer, the rich owners of Toronto will be able to match that for sure. As far as the confrontation that Masai had with one of the deputies in the Bay Area, there's a lot of gray area surrounding that, a lot of uncertainty. And, yeah, it just seemed like that Masai wanted to go celebrate with his team on the court, and the deputy wouldn't allow him on the court, to which I'm sure you can understand, Brandon, it would be, you know, quite disappointing. You want to celebrate with your team. We'll see what happens, but I feel like this was just a misunderstanding. And I feel like it'll blow over, but I guess only time will tell. We'll see how it all shakes out. But I think we're all hoping in Toronto that – I know we saw Masai's back in Toronto this morning already, so – I guess maybe that's already been resolved, but we'll find out soon.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff. Aaron Karolnik, TSN 1050. Hey, man, I don't know what you're going to be doing Monday, if you're going to be there as a fan or you're working, but either way, I would recommend you highly get hammered and enjoy that event and enjoy what
you
it
know,
is
you
to
don't
my
have
title.
To, you don't have to tell me twice. I will have a drink for you and everyone in Portland, Oregon.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Take care.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Aaron Karolnik of TSN 1050 Sports Radio. In Toronto, he does think Kawhi Leonard's going to come back. Dunn City won't begrudge him if he ends up leaving and going to, obviously, Los Angeles is the big rumored destination for Kawhi. Just a crazy, crazy wave of sports there for the fans in Toronto of watching a team trade a franchise guy for a better player, questioning that move, especially given the one-year rental scenario, it paying off big time. And now you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if you're going to lose your GM, but they maybe ended the dynasty run here of the Warriors. I think that's a bit extreme, but we can talk about that some more. Let's get to some audio here from Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, and everybody else. The Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship fair and square. They beat the team that was on the court. They hoist the trophy. We'll talk Toronto Raptors some more next on The Fan. Sorry about the incessant... asterisk things that I've mentioned probably two or three different times. I saw that on Twitter and a couple people I know in radio, like just to have that opinion. I do not ever understand it. There's only so much you can control. Did you work your ass off to get to a title game? Yes. Did the other team suffer an injury? Sure. Did you still go home with the trophy? So it's real? Okay. Stop the conversation. It's idiotic. There's too many to count in pro sports of teams having bad injuries come at the worst possible time, and the other team taking advantage and winning it. Let's get to the actual game itself. First of all, can we all just agree Klay Thompson is easily the most likable Warrior on that team? And I say that with a lot of respect for Steph Curry.
I think so.
I mean, that guy is an animal. He is insane. He is, I think he is psychologically built like a football player. He's not, obviously, the physicality difference is there, but I think that dude just steps on the court and he's a different human. His play last night, and everybody saw it, of goes for that layup, Danny Green goes for the block, he lands awkwardly, his knee gives out. When he stays down, you know that injury's serious. He goes back to the locker room jogging. Then Doris Burke says that he's jumping up and down. He has to come back out and shoot free throws. Then he jogs back to the other end because he doesn't want to come out now. This is all, by the way, with a torn ACL. And then he finally goes back and they announce and find out what really happened to him. Draymond had a funny quote of, he is just insane. He is out there. He's a different human being. He's built differently. And somebody at Blazer's Edge, the name is escaping me, so apologies here. But I want to give a quick shout out. One of the writers at Blazer's Edge tweeted a very interesting question to me. If you had one game to win, and as much as you may respect Steph Curry, would you rather have Steph or Klay? You can't have both. You only get one of them. Which player do you want in a game seven must-win scenario?
Well, I think one, it depends on what the rest of your makeup. Do you have a solid ball handling, distributing point guard that you trust on your team to just allow Klay? I don't want Klay to have to be the guy that's the playmaker.
He's not the strongest ball handler. There's no doubt.
So if I have,
let's say it's Klay and a backup, a competent point guard.
All right. But if I have somebody that's a decent NBA starter, I don't have a kid out there, then I would rather have Klay.
Okay.
Klay can get hot as anybody in the NBA.
Ever.
If he sees that first one or two go in, he had that one pull-up where he was drifting right just across midcourt. It must have been 32 feet where there were two Raptors around him, but he rose up above everybody and just didn't even think twice.
And he was fading to the
right.
Yeah,
he was drifting.
And he still shot the ball. He's unbelievable. It sucks to watch that. I actually kind of got a little mad because I love I mentioned it yesterday how I don't always root for a team and I'm more just enjoying the moment. And last night was one of those for me where I was just locked. I was nervous. I was anxious. I had no idea who was going to win. Then the Klay injury happens and I'm getting pissed because I'm like, great, I don't get to watch Klay Thompson play basketball basically all of next season. Let's hear from Kawhi Leonard. His thoughts on the post game after winning a championship.
Man, last summer, man, was going through a lot. And, you know, I had a great support system. I just kept working hard, and had my mind set on this goal right here. I came to a team, a new coach, that mindset was the same as mine, trying to get that Larry O.B. over there. And, you know, this is what I play basketball for. This is what I work out for all summer during the season. And I'm happy that my hard work paid off.
Kawhi Leonard with all the energy in the world. Did you find his celebration awkward? Did you watch him celebrate?
Well, I saw him, like, yell out a scream, put his arms up in the air.
But did you see, he, like, almost passed out. And somebody jokingly said on Twitter, it looked like he malfunctioned and then his robot senses kicked back in.
I missed that.
So he does the scream and the arms up, which there's a really kick-ass picture you can find out there from all the newspaper outlets. And then as he's running to midcourt, he's then like patted on the chest and back by three different people. And he turns and then he like blinks his eyes as somebody that's about to pass out. He's like, whoa.
Well, there was
and then
a
he starts
whole bunch
acting
of,
completely normal.
Well,
as
all the camera people came in. So I don't know if he caught like a bright strobe from one of the cameras that was coming. He might have caught that because he was looking around. He was trying to congratulate the Warriors before all chaos ensued.
I found that celebration to just be a little awkward. And it sounded kind of, it looked like a guy who appreciates and loves the journey, but also is kind of like, yeah, now I'm out of here. I want a title. Here is him talking about building on that championship.
Just making history here, bringing an organization their first championship. You know, it's just something that the Raptors could build on, that we all could build on. And, you know, that was my goal. I wanted to get them to the finals their first year. that was all our goal. And obviously, once we got here, it was the next step to win it all.
You think he's gone?
It sure sounds like somebody that once the trade went down, just the game plan went, okay, let's just go all in, do everything we can for this. It was a one-year deal. Like, he has it in his mind, this is just what I was doing for this year. Now, and maybe he hasn't, maybe he honestly hasn't thought about it yet, but it sure seems like all his comments were he was only focusing on this year and do everything he could, because whether they, if he got him to the title and whether they won it or not, it either sets him up to be a hero in Toronto if he decides he wants to stay, or legitimizing his status with LeBron and James Harden and whoever else you have in that, guys that you can build a franchise around.
Right, right. Yeah, I hope he stays out of the West. I'd love to see him sign with Toronto again, just because that would be really cool for them. They took a gamble. I love teams that take gambles, but I don't know. You know where he did buy property? Southern California. That was a $13 million mansion. You know where he hasn't bought property? Toronto.
So. Well, he doesn't have to. He's going to have free property if he wants it.
That's also very true.
And apparently a plant.
Yeah, well, let's get to that. We got a loaded second hour. A lot more to get to from the NBA Finals. Also, how does this impact Portland? The NBA Finals did impact Portland, and we'll explain how. Hour two straight ahead. Mitch Canham, the new coach of Oregon State Baseball, is going to join us at crunch time. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.